Lecture 12, Cleopatra, the Last Pharaoh.
Welcome back. I'm glad you're still with me. This is our last lecture, and we're going to see the end of Egypt as a nation. But it'll be presided over by a fabulous woman, Cleopatra. Let me pick up where we left off last, with the good Ptolemies. Ptolemy I and II, they had founded the library at Alexandria. We have the lighthouse built. They're running Egypt like a business. They're doing fairly well. But that ends. The later Ptolemies really didn't take care of business. They were more interested in reaping the benefits of being king. They were given nicknames by the people that suggests things were drastically wrong. For example, one Ptolemy was called Physicon, fatty. He was so fat that he had to be helped up so he could walk. Right? Cleopatra, the last ruler of Egypt as a nation, her father was called Auletes, the flute player, because he was more interested in playing the flute than taking care of business. Now, Cleopatra is someone about whom there are all kinds of myths, and there's a good reason for it. History is written by the victors, and Cleopatra lost. So there's this image of Cleopatra as this femme fatale luring good Romans to their death. Not true. Not true. She wasn't promiscuous. She wasn't this femme fatale. Right? But it's because the Romans defeated her and they wrote the history that we have this image of Cleopatra. Today, we're going to look at Cleopatra's life in three stages. The first stage is before she meets Caesar, the young girl. Then, with Caesar. And the third stage is after Caesar, which is the same as with Mark Antony. Let's start with Cleopatra before Caesar as a girl. Her father, Ptolemy, Auletes, the flute player, Ptolemy XII, had tremendous problems. People revolted against him. He had trouble staying in power, and he knew what he had to do. He went to Rome and asked Rome to keep him on the throne. He made a deal. He would bribe them. He would send them money, and they wouldn't get their money unless he stayed on the throne. So Rome kept Cleopatra's father on the throne. And Cleopatra saw this. You'll see. It plays an important part in her life. Now, as a young girl, we have certain incidents about Cleopatra. First, we know that she went with her father to the tomb of the Apis bull, which is called the Serapeum. It's at Saqqara. And let me describe the Apis bull to you. The Apis bull is a unique god in all of Egypt. As you know, the Egyptians were not reincarnationists. They didn't believe you're going to come back again. They were resurrectionists. They believed you were going to get up and go again. That's why they mummified. The closest I can come to an example of possible reincarnation belief is the Apis bull. There was only one Apis bull alive at any one time. It was believed that the Apis was born when lightning struck a cow and the cow became pregnant. So the Apis is part god, celestial, part terrestrial. When this Apis is born, it had special markings, and that's how they could find the Apis. It had wings on its back, it had a scarab, a beetle shape on its tongue, and its tail hairs were doubled. These were the signs of the Apis. When the Apis was born, it was pampered and treated as a god. It was kept in a temple, perfumed, fed, and when it died, it was mummified. The bull was buried in a tomb at Saqqara, an old kingdom cemetery, a revered cemetery, in a large tomb, of course. Now, when the Apis died, though, the search began for the next Apis. Sounds like reincarnation. They're looking for another bull with wings on its back, scarab on its tongue, double tail hairs. And when that Apis is found, it goes to the temple, is perfumed, taken care of, until it dies, mummified, placed in the tomb. Over the centuries,